Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And as always, my co-host, J.C. Sherbert. Welcome in, J.C.
Good to be here. Answered some questions real quick on the meatloaf. This may be the last Meatloaf Monday. I've stopped feeling it. Summer,
just not feeling it anymore.
Just stop feeling it.
Okay. I don't know. That's all right.
Well, with the short stuff, it's just like,
Meatloaf Monday. There's a lot of...
I'm usually like ready to just get to it.
So. Expectations, right?
A lot of expectations when it comes to Meatloaf Monday, but... Hope everyone's doing well. The McKellar Enterprises chat box is hopping for a Monday. I know you guys talked about the celebration and all that, or the Schnall thing. I have a little bit different take on it. I thought it was a breath of fresh air.
I liked it too. I didn't
set it on coffee like this morning.
You know,
baseball. But former baseball players like Matt and Jamie, they're gonna look at everything through the scope of the baseball god, so to speak. And I'll freely admit, the baseball gods probably may not have been pleased, but they're a finicky bunch. And I think as far as University of South Carolina is concerned, that is so different than what they do most of the time that I think everybody has to get a lot of credit. Jeremiah Donati, I mentioned Hillary Cox and Tyson Lusk and Wes Mallett, their leadership team that Donati mentioned the other night. I thought it was a good night for Donati, and I appreciate him unprompted dropping the whole – the Colonial Life Arena is nearing the end of its life cycle. Right. Like it's the International Space Station or that thing they sent to Pluto. It's nearing the end. It's the Event Horizon. It's a scary movie, by the way. Event Horizon.
Yeah, that movie will freak you out. It's a really good movie, though. But it's,
Lawrence Fishburne is a fantastic actor.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the Event Horizon Arena.
If only.
I got a nice little art because I had heard some things about that like in previous years and had some intel on it. So I put a little article together. You can read that on the Big Spur / Gamecock Central for $1 if you want to join.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't mind that. You know what I don't want to see, though, is that carry over into the season and have I don't want fireworks at baseball games. I don't think a band should be there. There's certain things about the sport, you know, that really don't need to be a part of the game day atmosphere.
I don't mind the
surrounding celebration. I mean, you know, my goodness, ding dong, the witch is dead, you know, bring it on home.
Yeah. Let's
go. Yeah.
I thought the celebration was fine, but I mean, you know, I think fireworks after you win, like they do for football, would be fine. Not after every home run.
Not in game.
And this is the thing, too. The DNA of your program. There's DNA everywhere, no matter who the coach is, right? Sometimes coaches will change it over time. But Clemson's always been in baseball, and they've been successful. You can't argue with it. You know, the Leggett era and the Tanner era. Compare that. Clemson had the, you know, I don't want to say more college style uniforms, you know, the purple and the orange, different colors, softball uniform looking things. Carolina had the classic grays and the pinstripes and, you know, Doug Kingsmore Stadium's a tremendous environment. I'm not knocking the environment, but it's a little different than Founders Park or the Sarge. You know what I'm saying? And especially Founders Park, which is much more of a retro baseball feel. Doesn't mean it can't be crazy and rowdy because lots of Arkansas is the same retro feel and that place is nuts. So is Mississippi State for that matter. So anyway, I thought it was a breath of fresh air, but certainly understand people that are like, man, this may be a little too much. But like Matt said in the McKellar Enterprises chat box, just want
more wins. Win.
They're trying to get there as far as the roster for next season is concerned. Dexter said, can you imagine telling the Spur he's riding a helicopter in the field for his intro party? I just assume walk in here with Dr. McGee and talk to the media boys, which is what they did. They did it at the Zone at Williams-Brice Stadium. every coach that's been named, I mean, Maneri and Kingston both, I think, were just up at Founders Park. Now, but Lamont, Lamont was at the arena. Remember, it was on the floor of the arena.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They introduced him. But there were no fireworks, and there's certainly no helicopter. That's right. I don't know. It's been a long year. It was a long coaching search. This is the coaching search, kind of the last big thing trailing off of one of the worst academic years in the history of Carolina athletics.
Right. Yeah.
Why not throw a party and say, hey, we'll be back.
That's right. We're coming back.
Coming back. So, anyway, Harrison says Beamer needs to start saying as well, way too much again. He got wind of it early last season and went downhill. Coincidence? I think not. Harrison, you need to write a data.
That's right. Breakdown. Time now. Yeah.
You need to go study that. He did say as well too much. And honestly, I think he'd probably admit that. But Cockweed says Vandy's new end zones look like VCRs. That's weird.
I haven't seen them.
Oh, Cam's got some scoop about a player. Off topic, I work with Caden Ramsey's family, incoming freshman tight end. Actually, already there, freshman tight end from Cross. Great kid coming from an amazing family, good old homegrown country folk. We got a good one coming to Columbia. I'm excited about him down the road, and I got really excited after Sean Elliott this spring said in a year he'll be 250. Whoa, 250. Yeah. I've kind of like, you know, really thought ever since I found out he intercepted 13 passes at 1A football in South Carolina at 6'5", 203 pounds. That has nothing to do with playing tight end. It does show he has ball skills and can catch.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been kind of high on this guy. I know they think they've got a good one too. And it's good to know he comes from good people. You know, most of the players do have excellent parents, even the ones that have gotten after me through the years. They're still good people. So
they're just so emotionally invested in their kids. You get it. You know.
Yeah. Rob said is standing, but Rob is in a Buc-ee's somewhere. Rob Williams, all over, everywhere. Rob's like all over. Rob Williams, all over the place. Cam said, I don't know, JB, the jockey lot up in Anderson's legendary. I've heard. Oh, TD Noel went to the Beacon. This is a great Beacon take, Phil. Food comment. I was in Bowling Springs this weekend for my family reunion. We stopped and ate at the Beacon. It's still just as good as the first time I had it as a kid. My arteries hate me. Jay Frew's never been to the Beacon or Buc-ee's.
Wow.
And then I'll be at the wing eating contest Saturday.
I will. Yes. We are not going to be there. We were, yeah, Bill just, yeah. Missing. Couldn't make it work this year again, which stinks, but it is what it is.
It's a weird weekend, man. I'm usually like solo on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Matt wants to go back to Omaha. We all do. Quantrell with a Clemson baseball take. Clemson's baseball field has a hill in the outfield. It automatically makes you the Savannah Bananas of the sport.
Not having a level playing surface should account for, like, that really should be mandated.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, why are you allowed to have any sort of grade, a noticeable one? Obviously, you got to have a little bit of this and that for drainage and whatnot, but I guess that's like rec league stuff, you know?
I'm with you.
There's not a rec league in Greenville, a rec league field in Greenville that's not level. Like, there's no hill.
Yeah,
just some obsession with running down hills over there.
Them hills. You know, there's something special in them hills.
Yeah, well, something crazy. So,
yeah. All right. Well, let's. I guess we'll get a break in.
Okay.
Since we need to. How long have we been? We've been 6 minutes in. Are we six? What time did we start today?
We started, it's been about 10-ish minutes.
Ten's good. Ten's good. I just wanted to go ahead and get it in. That way we're not, you know, coming back for 5 minutes, right?
Right. Yeah. That way we get a little longer on the back.
Longer on the tail end.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. So, not bad.
I don't know, man. Again, the fourth annual Wing Off is this weekend. I'll be there flying in for it. 4 p.m. CB 18 Bar and Grill at Five Points. Also, want to let you know, we need you to RSVP. Go to cockyhospitality.com. Click on the fourth annual Wing Off. It's real simple. Doesn't cost anything. Just put your name on in there, right? And we'll see you Saturday. We got some players already lined up. Gabriel Brownlow Dindy's going to be there.
Oh,
five star. There could be another five star there. My friends Brian and also Jeff do a fantastic job of that. We all got it started a few years back, but they've taken the reins and turned it into an awesome event that I don't miss each and every year. So anyway, check that out, cockyhospitality.com. Please follow them on social media as well. This is the show portion of Inside the Gamecocks on a Meatloafish Monday. We'll be back.
Welcome back, everybody. The final Meatloaf Monday continues here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. I totally didn't even think about Meatloaf, JC. I just played some sort of random song. There was no Meatloaf heading into the break. It's time to let it go.
Yes.
It has served its purpose.
Bill, you guys' commercial volume is hard to manage, especially while working. I mean, you know, send us an email. I mean, I don't know what you want us to do about that, Bill. Frankly, you know, most of your chat box entries, and I know you love you, man, but every day it seems like it's a complaint. That's not what the chat box is for. You know, everybody, you know, if somebody else has a complaint, they can put it in there. If it was eating up the chat box and everybody said it all the time, that would be one thing, but it's not your personal area to go complain every day. Please. Cool. Craigor knows though too. There you go. So maybe it is maybe it is something that we need to be aware of, but you can always text me about that instead of putting it out for everybody in the country to see while we're trying to attract more listeners. Anyway, yeah, just half joking there. Cockweed says JC, good take comparing the CLA to Comiskey. That does track. He had serious fear of missing out watching the schools build after the CLA build more classic looking smaller arenas. Yeah, what I meant by that was, okay, so when the White Sox built the new Comiskey Park, they did it at the end of kind of so the new baseball parks, I wrote this on thebigspur.com. The new baseball parks were like Sky Dome, which is now Rogers Center in Toronto, Tropicana Field. So they were either these domes, and then the Marlins, when they came along, played it. I think the Marlins were later, but this was like 1990. And so the White Sox built a new Comiskey Park, and basically it looked like Yankee Stadium, like this big Arche, or, you know, a little nicer than that. And then the next year, Oriole Park at Camden Yards opened, and it was like the talk of baseball, and everybody went retro. And so through the years with that facility, they've had to make it more retro looking and remodel. I mean, it's cost them a bunch of money. Carolina had that with the CLA, but at the time, sort of the trending, I mean, you had the Smith Center in Chapel Hill. That was like a 20,000 seat arena. They modeled the CLA after Bud Walton in Arkansas, and Carolina was at the time was thinking they were going to be Arkansas East. The program was only like 25 years from being the number one program in the country under Frank McGuire. The whole issue with basketball for years seemed to be they weren't in a conference, and then the Metro was kind of Then they got in a real conference, and in 4 years, Eddie Fogler built them into the champions of that conference. Everybody thought South Carolina basketball was back, and it was hard to get a ticket at the old place. And the old place was like, you know, by the time they got the CLA built, it was 34 years old. The CLA now, like, 26 years old, 24 yeah, it's years
getting
old.
Up there.
Mm-hmm. You know, so by the time they get a new one built, it'll be 30 years old. That's what's meant by the life cycle thing. But I think the Colonial Life Arena has been overwhelmingly positive for the Midlands, for the university, for the women's program. I don't hate it. I think the frustrating thing is it could be maximized better for men's basketball, even in down years. And it just isn't. There's a lot they could do with it. And I don't know that when you talk about the life cycle of a building, if they're planning on, there was talk about a lot of different things. There was a brand new arena that's smaller. There's talk of arena, I know they're going to probably build an operations building and a dual practice facility for both programs. There were plans discussed that they would redo the Colonial Life Arena, like rework it. I don't know if that's like Clemson did with Little John, where they basically tore it down and rebuilt it, or what that would look like. But I do think, there's anytime you mention reducing capacity in anything, people freak out about it a little bit. I do think they need to reduce capacity.
Yeah.
I don't know how many they pack in for concerts or whatnot, or if that would affect attracting concerts. But if you build a brand new one, you could always, like, if you tore down the Coliseum, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, they moved the journalism school out of the basement of the Coliseum. Harrison, let me know about that. He probably knows. Because that was the whole reason that if you tore that down and built a new arena there, the whole complex there, and you keep the CLA for things that required more seats, I don't know. I don't really know what you do. But, that's it. Cam says, time and location of the wing eating contest. Got my son for summer. Would love to try to bring him up. 4 p.m. CB18 Bar and Grill on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Rock and roll. Love to see you there, Cam. So, Chafer says, renovate Colonial Life, tear it down and redo. I think the Colonial Life Arena is in a good location. Don't you?
Yeah. I mean,
I like it down there.
It's in a good spot. It's just... And I don't know. It is nearing the end of its, I think, life cycle, as you say, and whether that means updating it inside or finally moving cameras around to where it doesn't look empty, even though it isn't. I don't mind there being that many seats. I think it needs to be better thought out, and because it could present better. Like, they're not putting their best foot forward in the way that the cameras are all laid out in that arena during the basketball season. Cause I mean, you don't want to take away revenue from women's basketball, cause they don't have a problem selling it out for an entire season.
Yeah. They lose. I mean,
even though they're losing revenue, I mean, I get it. They're not a revenue sport, but it helps to.
Yeah. You're not, that's not any new building they build will be, trust me.
Yeah.
It's going to be designed to maximize, to double the revenue they can get from Colonial Life Arena, even with less tickets sold.
Yeah.
But the women's basketball fans are kind of fighting back against it, because they're like, wait a minute, we're not going to have, it's gonna be harder to get a seat. Prices are going to go up. That's true. Prices have already gone up for women's basketball.
True.
But, the other thing you have to keep in mind is right now, if you build a new arena, that's a 30-year, that thing may, the next, if they build a new arena for men's basketball, for basketball, Phil, it's going to probably outlast all of us, 30, you talk about 30, yeah, 40 years down the
right
road. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be great at women's basketball for 30 years? We hope so. But nice. I don't know that you plan on it. Stands
to reason that coach is not going to be there for 30 years. Yeah,
you're not going. So I don't think you're going to do a long-term plan with short-term success in mind.
No.
I think that's how they got the CLA to begin with. You're like, we're having success right now. And by the time they opened it, they weren't. Yeah, you got to be careful with that. All that said, when you talk about success and tickets sold, that's kind of a thing of the past. The whole sports world, and this is not my opinion, and this is not what I would prefer. But new stadiums, new facilities, new venues are all less seating, more amenities.
Yeah.
It's just how it's gone. I mean, you look at all the stadiums they built across the country and just about any sport arenas. It's about where are our revenue points? How can we make money? How can we make the most money off of this? And honestly, I think in college basketball, I don't think college basketball is sustainable if the prices for players keep going up. The sport doesn't make that much money, doesn't produce that much revenue. Seems like people would understand that, but they don't. Not y'all, the coaches that continue to ask for all this, you know, across the country, the hypocrites in college basketball. It's ridiculous. But, I mean, you know, even if it were football, it'd be out of control, but at least football makes oodles of cash. You know, basketball makes some cash, but doesn't make oodles.
No.
And the three or four schools that do make oodles of cash off basketball, you know, they can spend whatever they want. There aren't enough players out there. I mean, there's plenty of other players out there, right? You know, in my opinion, but you know, nobody asked me. So, you know, I think that, you know, at the end of the day, you make a long-term decision like that, assuming the sport is still popular and worth investing in because the player pay hasn't ruined it. Right.
Right.
And then the interest is going to go expanding March Madness could be like an underrated, it could be like getting a cut on your heel and it getting infected and you die of it. Because it seems like a small thing. I'll let them in. It won't, you know, oh, well, you know, well, you've already got an issue right now where the mid-majors in basketball have become farm teams. You know, in football and baseball, baseball especially, there's always going to be like, okay, well, we went and got all your allegedly good players, and then there's going to be the ability to go find better players. they still have good players. I don't think the Group of Five team in the playoff is ever going to be great with the matchups they've had. I mean, you know, you can't send James Madison to Oregon and expect him to win. And you're sending Tulane to Ole Miss for a second time and all that. And, you know, the coach is leaving and you got, I mean, it just, cause it's just, and then Boise State, it was ridiculous that they got a bye. I mean, those are just dumb. Eventually, somebody like an Army or a Navy will run into somebody that's just got a good record.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a really good team, but they had a favorable schedule. And that team will get beat by the Group of Five. But we haven't seen it in the playoff before. What made basketball magical, especially the last few years before, you know, even at the beginning of the NIL era, was you'd have four or five teams that nobody had ever heard of that would pull upsets in the first round. Yeah. And that's why we all tuned in and filled out brackets. There's nothing fun about it turning out like the NBA playoffs. Yeah, this is exactly, chalk. That's exactly how it's going. Chalk. Mm-hmm. There's nothing fun about that.
No.
Because the magic of the events in the first and second rounds, you know, I think once we all get to Sweet 16 and Final Four, we do like to see the better teams play. Mm-hmm. But the ratings aren't, you know, nobody gets off work to watch that. Right.
No. Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah, you know, somebody asked about the fairgrounds, you know, that obviously that property, I don't think is owned by the Gamecocks. But out at that area, be as part of an athletics area, be good. So we'll see. Dexter mentioned the fairgrounds. Sean Contrell, speaking of stadiums in Columbia, why haven't they gotten rid of Capital City Stadium? It's an eyesore on the way to the stadium. Is it a landmark? Is it protected? I don't know. But somebody, a friend of mine, mentioned that that would be a great place for a basketball arena.
Mm-hmm.
That land. Harrison confirms on New Eden. Journalism school's not in the Coliseum, just a bunch of classrooms down there. Not specific. Journalism school's in a building. I knew they built a new J school up on the horseshoe. Cam said, do we know which players are confirmed? Gabe Brownlow, Dindy. Gabe Brownlow, Dindy. Blake Franks is back again this year. I think there could be a Nick Harbor sighting and a Vakari Swain sighting. Jake Decker will be there. Yeah, another offensive lineman. Oh, the new guy, Chin. Vincent Chin.
Vincent Chin. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vincent Chin. We'll be in. I like get a look at him. See how big that guy is. So Dexter says, wish the sports facilities were closer together. Yeah, it's Bill said old Capital City Stadium's on a big floodplain. Yeah, I can get around that. Build it on stilts.
That's right. You just put this. Just.
But no, it's I'm not an engineer. I don't know. I was just talking out my butt right there.
Just drive the pile.
Don't listen to me on that. Don't listen to me on that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the Wingini contest. I think it's going to be fun this year, and it's always good to get back. Jay Fruit says, I've heard they're turning Capital City Stadium into retail space. Hopefully so.
One of the three, I mean, if we are going to build a new one, right, then one of them needs to be turned into a dedicated giant parking facility that has shuttles and things to the active stadium. That way you could, the city and, you know, there could be revenue made there all year round, not just for games. I think it makes sense, especially since it's more than likely going to be a public-private partnership similar to what we have at the CLA, if I'm correct. Like, the school doesn't own 100% of the Colonial Life Arena, right? I'm right in that, right, JC?
No, they actually do.
Oh, or do they? Okay.
All of it. They ended up – now, look, you're not thinking incorrectly, Philip.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was a back and forth about it, and I mean, there's been they've tried to whenever they've built tried to build things, especially during the McGee era, they try these public private or public. I guess it wouldn't be a public private partnership; it would be a city university partnership.
Right? Yeah.
It just never came to. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think the Colonial Life Arena is owned by the university. Now the Columbia Convention Center is right beside it. Or there's a convention center right beside it. So I'm wondering if there's not a use for the city with the arena. Maybe y'all could make some dollars off of something like that. But that, look, man, that makes my head explode. I enjoyed our running backs conversation.
Right. Right.
Well, because I'll give my opinion on it, but I don't know much about it. You know, I as far as like engineering and like Bill chimed in on the floodplain.
Yeah, I don't know.
All that. So,
all I know is logistics on that end is like, yeah, there needs to be a better parking situation. And trust me, I live in Greenville, so I understand what it's like now to have to pay to park. You can make a lot of money on parking if you do it right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, I don't know. Eventually, I think the Vista is going to need some kind of gigantic parking facility.
Yeah, I don't know.
The arena's in the Vista.
Late at night on certain days, not that late, but you know, after dark, you can still find free parking in the Vista, which is nice. It's rare, but still there.
Rare, but there. All right, so we're gonna wrap up now.
Yeah,
that's a quick and easy walk in the park for Phil and I today. Tomorrow's terrible Tuesday, though, so you never know what's gonna happen then. Oh, by the way, programming note. So next Friday will be our last day before our summer hiatus. I was informed of that today.
That works.
So we're off till the week of SEC Media Days. That's our annual summer vacation. Still have some programming here and there. Of course, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on thebigspur.com, GamecockCentral.com. All the content. Still joined for a buck. That special all the way up till fall camp, so you can get in on that. Many, many, many of you have. We certainly appreciate that. For the Mad Dog Film Alonex, JC Sherbert has been Inside the Gamecocks on the final Meatloaf Monday. We're retiring it next week. Come up with something else fun. Mad Dog Monday.
Mad Dog Monday. We'll lean back into that.
Appreciate all of you guys. Again, hope to see you Saturday. CockyHospitality.com to RSVP for the fourth annual Wing Off. See you guys later. Be good.